Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest, formerly of the Eugene Register Guard, columnist there, fantastic writer, great reporter, friend of this show, staff writer at The Athletic now, covering Michigan. I was at Big Ten Media Day. I think he was on the phone or I was on the phone. We were walking by each other, saw each other, fist bump. And then I went looking for Austin Meek later. He must have got busy, or I did. I don't know. We, you know, like ships passing in the night. Austin Meek now joining us from the Midwest. How are you, man?
Hey, John, I'm good. Hey, sorry, I wasn't able to give you the official welcome to the Big Ten moment there. But yeah. I hope you enjoyed Indianapolis. You're probably going to see a lot of it. I feel like Indianapolis is my second home for the last 5 years that I've been here. So, yeah, hopefully you got the shrimp cocktail and the whole experience.
I did not get the shrimp cocktail. I could not convince John Wilner to go with me. He does not see the point of a shrimp cocktail, but I was, I'll get it on my next time, my next trip there. But give me an idea. Like, most people go to Media Day with a question in mind. What, as a guy who covers Michigan, what question did you have in mind?
You know, my big question for Michigan is just, is Sharon Moore ready for the job? You know, we've gotten to see Sharon Moore work up close the last few years at Michigan. We've gotten to see him be a head coach before in an interim role. But it's a little bit different deal when you're the guy. And, you know, it's not like Jim Harbaugh last year. You know, he was waiting in the wings. We knew he'd be back in those games when Jim Harbaugh was suspended and Sharon Moore was stepping in. And it's Sharon Moore's show now. You know, he's the guy in charge. I think he's ready for it. You know, everything I've seen from Sharon Moore tells me that he's ready for it. But until he actually gets out there, you know, and we start to see his program in place, I think that question is still out there.
He said no honeymoon year. They're ready to attack in his first season. Do your eyes tell you that? I mean, you hear that from him, but you know, look at the roster, you look at what they have coming in, what they lost. Do your eyes tell you that Michigan can be Michigan this year?
Well, I've been saying I think that they need to have a really good year this year because they could have three first-round picks at least on this team. Now, they definitely have some question marks, especially on offense. They lost a lot on offense. But Will Johnson could be a top-five pick. Mason Graham could be a top-ten pick. Colston Loveland could be a first-round pick. Kenneth Grant could even be a first-round pick. So I think there's actually like some really high level talent on this team. And I think Moore next year is going to be the big transitional year for Sharon Moore in Michigan. So I kind of think maybe he needs to get one this year, you know? If Sharon Moore could get into the playoff and even make a run at a Big Ten championship this year, I think that would really buy him some time. If he has a rebuild, you know, in year two, year three, having a good year this year, I think could really buy him even more goodwill from Michigan fans than he already has.
Jim Harbaugh, as he left, you know, he said after the national title game he wasn't ready to make a decision. It just felt like he was kind of maybe trying to do Michigan a favor. Maybe I'm reading too much into it in delaying making a decision on the NFL and maybe holding some players in place, giving Sharon a chance to maybe recruit guys. Am I reading too much into that? Like, did Jim Harbaugh do Michigan right on his way out the door, or did he, just like every other coach, just do what was best for himself?
You know, Jim Harbaugh, I think he really could be of two minds sometimes, and I think that's what made him such an interesting coach to cover. Is almost, it seemed like sometimes one side of his brain didn't always communicate with the other side of his brain. I think there was a side of his brain that really did want to stay at Michigan, despite everything, you know, despite the NCAA stuff and, you know, his relationship with the administration certainly had been hot and cold. So there was part of him, I think, that was gone as soon as that season ended, you know, knew that was it. He wanted to go back to the NFL. But there also was a part of him, I think, that still was engaged with negotiating with Michigan on a contract extension. It had been something that had been discussed for a long time, and there was still a little bit of hope at Michigan, I think, when the season ended, that, that they could get Jim Harbaugh back. But, you know, all of us who had been around Jim Harbaugh for the last few years felt like this was the time for him. Nobody was surprised that he left. But nothing with Jim Harbaugh is ever simple. You know, it's never cut and dried. It always takes a few twists and turns, and certainly those 2 weeks after the season ended, he had everybody guessing there for a little bit before he ultimately took the Chargers job.
Ohio State, very much during the media days, positioned as the favorite in the conference. Oregon maybe behind them. How is that sitting with Michigan fans, watching Oregon come into that equation?
Yeah, you know, I think so much at Michigan is focused on Ohio State. And I think Michigan fans have enjoyed sitting back this offseason, savoring their national championship, and realizing it's driven Ohio State kind of crazy to watch them win it. And everything that Ohio State has done since then, really, it feels like has been built around trying to have a team that can do what Michigan did. I remember sitting in the press box during the national championship game when Quinshon Judkins committed to Ohio State. And that was just like the perfect encapsulation of that rivalry. Like, as Michigan is winning a national championship, you know, Ohio State's trying to score some points, and build toward next year. And they've built a really good team. And I think they deserve to be the favorite. I think Oregon, in my mind, is clearly, you know, right there as number one and number two. I think Michigan's a step below that. But I do think Michigan still has a team with the top end talent to compete. I don't know how Michigan is looking at Oregon right now and how much that Oregon game is top of mind for Michigan, just because so much is focused on Ohio State. But if it's not, you know, if Michigan is not paying attention, I mean, they could get beat when Oregon comes to Ann Arbor, because I'm pretty high on that Oregon team. I think they're really good. I think people around the Big Ten are going to figure that out this year.
What doesn't the Oregon fan know about the Big Ten that you know? And I'm just more talking, Austin, about the week to week in the Big Ten. What is it that Pac-12 fans or, you know, Oregon fans might not be tuned into?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Big Ten has been so focused around Michigan and Ohio State, you know, the national narrative in the Big Ten, you know, about the Big Ten is so much focused on those schools. You know, the bottom of the Big Ten has not been very good. And, you know, I think that the balance of this league is going to be interesting to me now as an 18-team conference. You know, that the Indianas of the world, you know, the Northwesterns of the world, like, you know, those programs just haven't been very nationally relevant. And I don't know that, you know, a lot of people outside the Big Ten really have paid attention to that league outside of the teams at the top. You know, there's some teams that have some kind of interesting things going on, some teams that feel like they might have some momentum going. There's also some teams you look at it and you're kind of like, man, you know, that's going to be tough for those teams in the new Big Ten. Like Indiana, it's going to be tough for Indiana. It's going to be tough for Northwestern. Could be tough for Illinois. And so, you know, the week-to-week competition, I think, in the Big Ten, for Michigan, you know, it's, last year especially, it kind of felt like a two-game season, really, in the regular season. You know, there just wasn't a lot in the Big Ten that was going to challenge Michigan last year outside of Ohio State and Penn State. So I'm going to be interested to see with the new Big Ten, is it more balanced, you know, week to week? Are there more good competitive games? I think there will be. I think having the West Coast schools in the league will add to that. But it's, you know, the new Big Ten, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to kind of figure out the identity of that conference.
Kirk Herbstreit came out and said he thought somebody nobody's talking about could be a factor in the Big Ten. He may just be trying to play to some fan bases here, but who pops into your mind when I say that? Somebody that nobody is expecting.
Well, I think there's a couple teams in the Big Ten who could surprise some people this year. I think Nebraska could surprise some people. They have been closer, I think, than their record showed. I mean, that program just has seemed like they're kind of snake bit going back to the Scott Frost, end of the Scott Frost era, you know, where they just lost one close game after another close game and like found these just ridiculous ways to lose every week. It's like, God, how can a team be, you know, be this unlucky? I think Matt Rhule has Nebraska going in the right direction. Obviously, he's got a quarterback now in Dylan Raiola who has a ton of buzz. So I think Nebraska could take a big step forward this year. I think Wisconsin could be better this year. We're going to see if Tyler Van Dyke is the answer for them at quarterback. But they have some pieces coming back. Their running back is really good. And year two is really when Luke Fickell got it going at Cincinnati. They took a big jump in year two. Year two for him now at Wisconsin, I think they could take a pretty big step forward too.
Austin Meek with us of The Athletic covers Michigan. You know, the way you talk about it, and Michigan fans being kind of focused, hyper-focused on Ohio State back and forth. I mean, is it possible like a team like USC or even Oregon, who everybody should see coming, is it possible one of those teams could be, I guess, less in the limelight, less the focus, and you know, have a really nice season? I'm probably thinking more about USC and Lincoln Riley. Like, nobody's expecting them to challenge at the top of this conference, but if everybody's talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Oregon and Penn State and Nebraska could be better, is it possible that a school like USC has an opportunity or puncher's chance?
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. The thing about the Big Ten that I've noticed in 5 years now covering Big Ten football is, you know, you really have to be built. You have to be built for the grind in the Big Ten. You have to be built for November. You have to be built to play in the trenches. The teams that aren't built that way generally really have a hard time in the Big Ten. You know, there were some teams the last few years that Michigan just ran all over because they weren't built to play that way. And so that's what I wonder about a team like USC, a team like Washington, which is basically a completely different team than the Washington team that the Michigan kind of ran over in the championship game. So that's my question for those teams is what's USC going to be in November? What's Washington going to be in November? I think Oregon's going to hold up. I really do. Like, just looking at their team, I feel like they are built to be able to play that way, or at least match up with the teams that are really the prototypical Big Ten power football teams. So there is an opportunity, I think, for the non-Oregon teams coming into the league to maybe open some eyes. But my question is, will they start hot, and then when you get into the you know, cold weather football of November, how are those teams going to hold up?
Austin, that's a great point. The top of this conference will compete for a college football playoff berth. The middle of this conference probably will look and go, gosh, if we hadn't invited Oregon in and we hadn't grown, you know, maybe we would be in play. Is everybody happy with Oregon being there, or are the Iowa and Nebraska, Illinois fans kind of going, no, there's just one more team to get over?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the Big Ten West, when it existed, you know, it was good for some teams in the Big Ten, just from the standpoint that there were a lot of years when the team playing in the Big Ten championship out of the West was probably not one of the top five teams in the Big Ten. So it probably kind of artificially propped up some teams that really weren't that good, but had something to play for all year, you know, could say, hey, we won the West, you know, we won a division championship this year. You know, Iowa, we averaged 7 points a game, but we won the West, right? That's not going to happen in the new Big Ten. You know, my feeling is that even those schools and their fans had kind of gotten tired of that. You know, Iowa, like, I don't think it was that fun for Iowa to go to the Big Ten championship game and lose 52-0. Like, I think they were ready for something different too. I think it's going to raise the bar for everybody. And I think ultimately, you know, even the schools that maybe hurt by that, or maybe things are getting tougher for them now, like Iowa. You know, you're going to find out. Like, do you have what it takes to compete in a league that clearly now is one of the top two leagues in college football, a league that is, you know, no easy path to the Big Ten championship game now. If you're in the Big Ten championship game, you earned it. You're one of the two best teams for sure in the league. If you're in the Big Ten championship game, you're probably in the college football playoff. I think ultimately that'll make the league better, but I do think it'll make life harder for a few of those schools.
I had a fan ask me, if I'm going to a Oregon road game in the next two or three seasons, where should I go? And among the choices was, you know, a game at Penn State, game at Wisconsin, certainly this season a game at Michigan, maybe a game at Ohio State. You and I have been to some of these places. You've probably been to them all. Give us a kind of a fan's guide to the Big Ten venues. You know, what are your top two or three that you say to fans, hey, you need to go see a game at this place?
Well, I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for. If you want the college town experience, beyond just the stadium and the game, I would say Madison. I think Madison's probably, for my money, the best college town in the Big Ten. And the atmosphere at Wisconsin is great, too. I think just in terms of the game itself and the game day experience, I'd probably put Penn State number one. It's the most intense atmosphere I've been covering a team that was playing on the road, especially for the whiteout. I mean, the whiteout at Penn State is up there with, like, Death Valley. It's one of the best scenes in college football. So if anybody gets a chance to go to that, I would recommend it. You know, Penn State and Michigan are interesting because they're similar capacity in their stadium. You know, they'll both be up over 105,000, but it's completely different. You know, Penn State's out in the middle of a field, and you see every single car, every single person, and you hear every single person in the stadium. Michigan, like, Michigan's stadium is in the middle of Ann Arbor. Like, you don't know where all the cars go. I never know how they get 100,000 people in there. It's always loud. It's not as loud as Penn State. So, you know, it's all about your taste and what you're looking for. But Penn State's probably the one I would say, like, that's a bucket list trip for sure.
Austin Meek with us. The Athletic covers Michigan. I've got some Washington fans that are listening. It could be a tough year for Washington. Obviously, they know what Michigan's about. They saw it in the national title game. There was a physicality there that they just could not match. Where do you see Washington in the Big Ten this season?
Probably middle of the pack. Maybe lower half. I didn't realize until listening to Jed Fish at Media Days just how complete the turnover was, how extensive the turnover was on their roster. I mean, he went through how many players are back from that team last year, and like that was eye-opening to me. I knew that they were pretty much replacing their whole team, but I mean, they really are pretty much replacing their whole team and whole staff. So that's going to be tough. You know, that's a tough thing. I think that probably Kalen DeBoer still left, enough of a culture in place there that I don't think they're just going to come into the Big Ten and fall on their face. And I think Jed Fish is a good coach. I mean, you know, people around here remember him from when he was with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, pretty well regarded as a coach. So I think he'll get them going. But I do think year one could be tough in the Big Ten for them.
Austin, I appreciate your time. Can read Austin Meek in the New York Times or at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you, man. You're going to get a chance, maybe, to get out to the Pacific Northwest as Michigan plays games out this way. So that'll be fun as well.
Yeah, man. I can't wait for the first trip to Eugene. I haven't been back there since I left Eugene, which kind of breaks my heart. So I was as excited as anybody when Oregon came into the league. I can't wait to get back there.
All right. I appreciate you, Austin. Thanks for making time for us. It was great to see you in Indy. There he goes. I did not get the shrimp cocktail. I did not. The steakhouse, St. Elmo's in downtown Indianapolis. Wilner wasn't up for it, so I'm blaming him. All right, leave it here. We have so much more ahead, plus the 5 at 5 at top of the hour.